Welcome to Spook Pod. This is Courtney.
And this is Emily.
What a loser recording the day of.
Yeah, the clock just struck midnight where I am, so we're officially a little bit late on this podcast because this is the day that it comes out and we are just recording now. But it's been a bit of a week, so I think we should cut ourselves some slack. I feel like this is every single time we're recording. We're like, you need to cut us some slack. Yeah. And I also need to offer an apology, like a really big apology before we get started, because if you listened to our last episode, I said that we were going to be covering a Dutch serial killer in this episode. Do you remember me saying
that?
Yeah,
and Emily? You're a liar, and it's fine.
I am a liar. I lied to you, and I'm very, very sorry. I need to push that episode a little bit because I haven't finished my research for that case. There's a lot to go through, and then I discovered that there's a book on it, and when there's a book, I want to read the book, but the book is in Dutch, so I'm slow reading the book.
Also, she's, like, trying to get married, like that's a big deal or something.
Yeah, I flew back from Aruba this week, so I'm back in the Netherlands, and we're getting married next week. So I just have a bit on my plate. Emily's got stuff on her plate, too.
Less. I should say, I have less on my plate than Courtney, always. I pretend like it's just as full. I complain just as much, but I always have less.
But you are getting a case today, and it's one that I think is really fun, really interesting. I guess I shouldn't say fun to describe.
No, it's a party. And yep, let's continue. This person's life and death are amusement for us. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. So yeah, Dutch serial case is going to be pushed a couple weeks. Apologies for that once more. But this case that we have tonight, it's not so long, which makes sense because we're recording super late. It's midnight here. The episode comes out in a few hours. So, you know, got to get this recorded and got to get it pushed out. But this case, I think it's like a little bit on the level of legend. It's considered very famous in consideration of Amsterdam's history. But this event did, in fact, take place. Like, there are historical records of it. And it brings us all the way back. I think this is the oldest case we've ever done. All the way back to 1664. So you know that it's going to be juicy, because we got some records.
I think we got back almost that far when I was talking about the mermaid lady that people...
Oh, true.
But in terms of, like, an actual case, yeah, this is as far back as we've gone.
Yeah, well, I feel like the mermaid lady was real, for sure. They just had no idea what it was.
Yeah, no, she was just a mute person that they kidnapped and pretended to be a mermaid. Like, they were obviously uneducated peasants that were like, look at our mermaid. And they were like, that's a human. That's just a girl that can't talk that you are keeping in water. Why are you keeping her in water? And they're like, look, she knits. And they're like, yes, because she's a human.
That's in our Baddies of the Netherlands episode. I think it was sixth episode, if you want to go back and listen to that. But I feel like old-timey cases, they're just kind of juicy, right? Like, it's when the justice system was not as
Can
developed.
I also say that I love how people, like, recorded things back then? Because there is this, like, one, I feel like another podcast did it that I listened to, and they talk about, like, a haunted lighthouse. And literally, the guys are like, a candle blew out. It must have been a ghost. The ghost that haunts the lighthouse. And then somebody else, like, years later was like, it was pretty windy that night. It was probably just the wind. Like, and it's so sparse. Like, so-and-so got up and ran out of a gate and was never seen again. And they're like, well, technically, he probably went down to the dock and was swept into the water and, like, blah, 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 blah. But this person's recollection is...
Yeah, people were much more dramatic. So this case, it's interesting, it's disturbing, it's all that jazz. So this is the story of Elsia Christiens. Her name, Elsia, would be translated to, like, Elsie in English, but we're going to call her Elshia because that was her name. And if you read the title of this episode, then you know that this is the story of her execution. So let's dive in. Elshia was originally from Denmark. She was born there in 1646. And given the year, you know, not too much is known about her early life in Denmark. But we do know that by the time she was 18 years old, around April 19th, 1664, she decided to travel to Amsterdam to see if her life there would fare well for her. Spoiler alert, it really, really does not, because 2 weeks later she would be executed.
Wow, she was quick at pissing people off.
Yeah, very quick. So this was kind of like a pivotal time in Amsterdam's history. This was like a boom time for the Dutch Republic. Like, but basically the last apex years before it all kind of went to hell. So just to give a very brief history, in case you didn't know, the Netherlands was super powerful in this day and age. They were very ambitious. And if you're from North America, you probably know that it was like basically it was England that took control of all of Canada and the United States. But before that, the Dutch were there.
The Pennsylvania Dutch. Hey-o. Yes.
And I think this is a really cool fact, but New York City was actually first called New Amsterdam because it was the Dutch that were there first. But then it got taken over by the British and they changed the name to New York. But the Dutch had an incredibly strong shipping industry, which is why they colonized the shit out of a lot of places in the world, such as Aruba, the island I was just in. They also played a really key role in the expansion of trade in Europe and Asia back in the day. Like, maybe you've heard of the Dutch East Trading Company. And one of their really big imports was peppercorn, which was basically gold in those days. So they're making a shitload of money with their peppercorn. Peppercorn was also featured in, like, a lot of still life paintings in the time, like bags of peppercorn.
What a weird fetish to have.
I know. Everyone was, like, all fucking about peppercorn.
Because, like, honestly, like, you know, like, the British, their main thing was tea. And the East India Trading Company was all about, like, fabrics and spices from the Orient. So, like, they had that. Mm-hmm. And then the Dutch are just like, peppercorn.
Yeah. I wondered because, like, at Christmas, they always have these cookies come out that they call pepernoten or, like, peppernuts. And I was like, ooh, did this start when they were super obsessed with pepper?
Just pepper and clogs everywhere.
but yeah, because of this, like, Amsterdam grew incredibly quickly from a provincial town to really like a thriving cosmopolitan city with trading connections spanning the entire globe. So very wealthy, very ambitious people. And had they succeeded, everyone in the US would probably be speaking Dutch today instead of English, which is funny to think about. But the Dutch began to decline around the 1700s. There was a lot of land wars going on for them, which then put their ships in a state of neglect, which means they couldn't really colonize as much as they were, and then they were eclipsed by the English. And in 1795, the Republic completely collapsed under the impact of a Dutch democratic revolution. But back in 1664, there is still a boom going on in Amsterdam. It's doing super well there financially. And because of this, it drew in immigrants that were looking, like, for a new life, right? It looked pretty good to go there if you are penniless and 18-year-old Elshia.
Every single person who hopped on a ship from Britain to Canada. This is what was going on. We are poor. We get land. Let's go. Toot toot.
Yeah, too bad there's not any new worlds for us to discover today.
I don't know. I'm kind of okay with it because, like, listen, we decimated an entire native population and
True.
Did not give a crap about it.
True.
So
I guess we've
maybe
seen.
Let's not repeat the mistakes of our past.
Well, maybe if it had no natives, but we've definitely seen, like, the effects of colonization around the world, which hasn't been the greatest. So
also, like, plop us down in an area with one of those Aboriginal tribes that's never been interacting with, like, humans before. And then all of a sudden we're just like, hi, this is our land. And they have no concept of what we mean. It's going to be just a terrible situation.
Yeah. So Elsha arrived in Amsterdam with basically nothing to her name. And she was hoping that she could quickly find a job. She did find a place to stay, at least, and she rented a room in a hostel along the Damrak, close to the harbor.
Okay, but can you imagine, like, just pause for a second. Like, if we just, like, in our current society, if I just walked out of my house right now with none of my personal belongings and went to Toronto and was like, guess I better find a place to live post-haste. Like, you can't do that anymore. Like, if I walked into, like, the city of Toronto today and was like, where can I rent a room? People would be like, well, in about a month or, you know, in 3 years from now, you can get into, like, this $1.5 million apartment.
You need to give, like, front rent, back rent, and all that jazz.
References.
Although, to be honest, this really did not turn out well for Elsha. So we'll see what happens. But so in 1664, the Damrak, that was a canal. Today, it's been turned into a street, actually. It's not a canal anymore. And Elsha's landlady was called a slapvrouw, which translates literally to sleeping woman. But it was a lady who would rent rooms to young immigrants and usually, although not always, try to get the girls into prostitution. Like a...
She a pimp.
Like a, yeah, like a madame or a pimp. But Elsha wasn't looking for that. And I can't even confirm that this, where she lived, was that type of, like, house.
Let's just say the odds were ever in her favor for prostitution.
Probably. But she was looking for work as a maid, that which this was also super popular work at the time because we have lots of wealthy Amsterdam people. Everybody wants a maid. But the poor girl could not find work. I mean, I know it's only been, it hasn't been very long, a couple, like 2 weeks, but she couldn't find work. And that is when things went very downhill for her. Her landlady was really hounding her for money, and of course, she had none. Then, on April 27th, which was just 8 days since coming to Amsterdam, her landlady would not take no for an answer. She was either going to get money from Elsha, or she was going to take whatever belongings there were to her name as compensation instead. They began shouting at each other, fighting, and then the argument turned physical. The landlady began hitting Elsha with a broom, and Elsha snapped. She grabbed the first thing she could find, which unfortunately for the landlady happened to be an axe. And she began beating the landlady with it, hitting her in the head until the landlady fell down the stairs into her cellar and was dead.
Maybe a bit of an overreaction on Elsha's part.
Just a little, right? But this is the stress of housing. So other patrons in the hostel heard this commotion and they came to see what was happening. They saw the landlady dead and Elsha panicking, basically. She grabbed a coat and some linen that she stole from another guest, and she fled. And she jumped into the Damrak canal covered in blood right outside her front door. I'm not really sure.
Not a thinker. This, no. Our Elsha here is not a thinker.
No, not a thinker. Like, I was like, what is her plan? Like, maybe it was to get rid of the blood, but, like, you're slower in the water.
Also, like, maybe, like, tracking-wise, it's definitely harder to track people in water, but you have to be somewhere that they can't see.
Yeah, like, they can they can just see her, like, floundering in the water. And she was caught very quickly. And she wasn't, like, she was fished right out by bystanders, not even the police or anything. They were just like...
Because if you see a woman just fly out of, and flail herself into a canal, you're gonna be like, oh god, let's help her and get her out of the water. Like... She should have taken off down the street like a real heathen.
Yeah.
And gotten hit in like a little alley. Then toss yourself in a river. Like, what are you doing?
100%. So she was brought to the authorities, who at this time was like a sheriff and the magistrate or whatever, and they questioned her. So on April 28th, that was when she was interrogated for the first time. In total, she got interrogated 3 times, April 28th, 29th, and May 1st. This, I thought, this is really cool, actually. So the interrogation was recorded in a confession book, and I actually found it online. So a confession book, this is what they had back in the day to record all of their like interrogations and stuff. And it was like there was a secretary sitting in there while the sheriff questioned criminals and they wrote it all down. So it's available to see online. It's super cool, but it's very like old timey looking and it's written, you know, in like a quill with like those really loopy letters. So I couldn't read it at all. And I asked Erwin if he could, because it's in Dutch, but he couldn't even read it because it's just such weird loopy writing.
It's like calligraphy style, yeah. But in Dutch.
But and like weird, like you can't tell what
trust
letter
me, like
is.
I've gone on Ancestry before and tried to read like census from like 1860s and you can't, like you can't either. Your ancestors couldn't spell for shit and were illiterate, or the people writing the census down, their handwriting was like so crazy that you're like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. And that's just the 1800s, like that's like not that long ago. And you're like, okay, it's probably like us today and kids who never learned cursive writing.
Yeah, I think so.
And they just like stare at it and they're like, I don't know what this yeah. says. And I'm like, it's English, read it.
Yeah, like they could tell which the letters like were based on what it was probably. But yeah, I can't read it at all. But it's linked in my references if you want to go check it out. It does look pretty. So in these interrogations, Elsje confessed to the killing of her landlady with the axe. And there was, like, also some speculation that the reason she killed her was because Elsje was robbing the woman, like, stealing money and jewelry. But this she denied, so.
And it's weird to confess to a murder but deny robbery, like.
Yeah, you might as well go things, all in, right?
Yeah, just give it. You're already down for murder. Go for the whole, yeah enchilada.
So after these three interrogations, Elsje was sentenced on May 1st, 1664, to death. Which is a pretty harsh punishment, but again, it was the 1600s. So in today's justice system, she would have received a maximum of 20 years in prison.
Let's flip it back to the old school ways.
But yeah, this was 1664, so it wasn't just a normal execution, of course. She was first sentenced to be beaten with the axe that she used to kill the landlady. The sentencing just said, hit several times in the head. Then she was to be strangled to death with a garrote. Afterward, her body would be hung on a pole in a field, quote, until the winds and birds devour her.
So for anyone who doesn't know, a garrote is like that thin, like, wire that they would use to, like, you see yeah. in movies all the time and stuff that people, like, go around your neck and try to strangle. So it's just like a thin wire.
And they, like, twist it until it gets tighter and tighter.
Yeah, it's not comfortable. It's, listen, this is unnecessarily cruel, but also highly poetic, because she's put on a pole in a field until the winds and the birds devour her.
Yeah.
What kind of literary genius was writing down these sentences?
I know, right? They were very creative with death sentences back in the day. And the murder weapon was going to be hung beside her on the pole, too, as a warning to others. Yeah, this is exactly what happened. On May 3rd, 1664, so literally just 2 days after her sentencing and 2 weeks after she arrived in Amsterdam, the public executioner strangled her to death in public outside of the town hall on Dam Square in Amsterdam. Her body was then hung on a pole in the Volwijk, which it was in this day, it was a field on the northern shore of the Y River in Amsterdam, which served as the gallows. And this is where they kind of put all condemned people were put on display there to deter others.
Is Amsterdam like super haunted? Because I feel like
it must be.
Amsterdam should be super haunted.
It must be. but this was actually the first execution of a woman in Amsterdam for 21 years. Not to mention the fact that she was only 18, right? So this really became a spectacle and garnered a lot of public attention.
Lots of kids eating popcorn at this execution.
Yeah.
How demented is that?
One of the people, I think this is like probably the coolest part, but one of the people whose attention it drew was the famous Dutch painter Rembrandt. So Rembrandt, he was like a Dutch golden age painter, and he's generally considered one of the greatest visual artists like in all of art history.
And he was just like, hey, I'm an artist. taking an execution. BRB fruit that I'm painting. I'm going to go down the way and watch a little girl get strangled.
So he happened to be in Amsterdam when this event happened. But in 1664, he was 57 years old and he was kind of having a rough go at life. Like before, he was getting commissions, kind of living the high life as a famous artist. But now his second wife had just died. He had already buried three of his children, and creditors had basically taken everything he had. So he was living in a poorhouse on the Rozengracht in Amsterdam, which is another canal.
If only they could peer into the future and see how famous he is.
Yeah.
And then be like, ugh.
But Rembrandt actually loved to paint him some corpses. He had painted and drew a lot of dead people. And when he heard that a woman had been executed for the first time in 20 years, he could not pass up the opportunity to go and draw her dead body that was on the pole. So he ordered himself a boat and he rowed across the river himself to the field on the very same day that she died. And he drew her twice, actually. Once was a front-facing view and the other was a side view. And the axe that's beside her is in the pictures as well. According to art critic Jonathan Sauday, the image is unique in Rembrandt's work because although he was like super fascinated by death and dead bodies and often drew them, the image of this body had no like signs of life surrounding it, which is what he normally did. So maybe this was a reflection of how absolute shit his life was going at the time. But it was also speculated that the drawing of her from the side was drawn last because this one has a lot more detail and feeling than the first drawing. So it's also speculated that he was like warming up to being close to her dead figure and be able to draw a lot more detail. So this work of art is officially known as A Woman Hanging on a Gibbet. And the two drawings are about 17 centimeters by 9 centimeters, done with a pen. And they are displayed today at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. So you could go there today and look at it, which I think is super cool.
Are they also in Animal Crossing? Because I feel like this is a
no, they're
print
not.
That Red might try to sell you.
They should be in Animal Crossing. Another interesting detail about Rembrandt's work here is that it was originally dated to have happened in 1655. However, this was based only on the style of the image. The art historians didn't even bother to like check any historical documents. But that was until 1969 when assistant archivist. Isabella van Eichen discovered that the girl depicted in the photos was Elsje Christiens. This was based on the confession book that I mentioned before. So Isabella went through the records for a period of 25 years and determined that Elsje was the only woman to be executed in this period, and she was the only one displayed in the gallows in such a manner. So yeah, there's little doubt that the drawing was of Elsje. And Isabella wrote about it, quote, "Elsje Christiens, who once served as an example to others to deter crime, now will serve again as an example for the art historians to be careful with dating on the basis of stylistic grounds."
I feel like that's not what Elsje wanted her legacy to be. Like, if she had a choice.
I don't think she wanted, either of these things, but
yeah.
Hey, Elsje got
also probably wasn't like, when I die, I want famous artists, but not really famous at the time, to come paint my dead body.
And Rembrandt actually wasn't the only one to paint the scene. There's also a pen and ink drawing with watercolor by Anthony van Borsum, where Elsje's body can be seen hanging alongside a lot of other criminals. She's like on the right side of it. And the other people in the painting are people executed since 1660, according to a historian, Michael.
I'm sorry. Wolf. So they just left bodies up for like four years.
Yes. Emily, it was until the birds and the winds could devour them.
Yeah, I get it. I just thought it would be a lot faster than 4 years. Like, how long does a body take to decomp? So now you're just hanging skeletons up there?
I guess so.
Waving around in the wind. I always thought that was a dramatization. Like when you see them in like pirate movies and stuff and it's just skeletons. I'm like, oh, how accurate is that? They take the bodies down after a while. Oh, no, no. They just use them as decoration. That's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Everything's fine. Also, I feel like Rembrandt and this Von Borsum guy are like, you know how nowadays you get those like rubberneckers at crime scenes who are like trying to take photos and like, is that a dead body? And they're like zooming in on their cell phone and like pushing at the police tape. I feel like that's
in this day and age, that was them.
Yeah. Yeah. Rembrandt rowing across the canal with his rebel Canon camera and he's trying to like.
Like the reporters of the time. Buy my painting. It's a dead person.
The cops are like, yeah, the cops are like, who's that asshole on the river with the camera? And they're like trying to chase him out of there. I'm a painter.
Those gallows that she was hung at stood there until 1795. Not like her body, but the gallows were there.
Probably based on how long they just leave skeletons laying around.
Almost 200
years. Probably her body.
Yeah. Today, it's a nice residential district in Amsterdam Noord.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. That's disgusting. Move out of there.
That's all I have for today, actually. That's our story. I thought it was a cool case because I really like art history, and it's funny how, like, this old case is tied into a work of art that you can still view today. Makes me want to go to New York and check it out.
It's also funny that everybody has, like, these really high respect for Rembrandt when really he was just, like, a creepy corpse drawer that, you know.
Yeah, isn't it weird that so, like, Leonardo da Vinci would also, like, dig up dead bodies, wouldn't he? Or at least somehow have dead bodies.
So listen here, because in society today, if you found some creepy goth kid digging up bodies in the graveyard, like, I just need to draw them because I'm an artist. And you'd be like, no, what is wrong with you? But back then they were like, oh, he's just trying to learn about musculature. Or like, oh, he just likes to see how the skeleton sits. Like, no, don't be creepy.
Again, people were much more dramatic in this day and age.
Yeah, but way more chill about body desecration. We are not okay with that currently.
Well, I guess they probably also, like, if executions are a normal thing in their society that they grab popcorn and go watch, they must see a lot of dead people.
I also feel like they really just didn't keep track of bodies like we do. Like, you know, people die nowadays and there's, like, death records and where they were buried and what plot they're in and what cemetery and what town and what's, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. And back then you could be like, ah, my aunt died last year and she fell in the gutter and we just left her. Not sure where she ended up.
Maybe in Leonardo da Vinci's work room.
Basement.
Studio.
Basement. You know we had a basement for the bodies.
All right, thanks for sticking with us through this case today, and
thanks for letting us ruin all of your favorite artists for you, because they're all creepy.
And we'll see you back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of Spook Pod. New ones are out every Friday. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to talk to us? Have questions? You can email us at thespookpod@gmail.com or follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit at SpookPod.
For a full list of episodes, more deets, or to see what's coming next, visit our website, spookpod.com.
This has been a presentation of Mostly Awkward Media.
See you next week.